I'd like to talk about communion today. I'd like to speak about a particular aspect of communion and focus on the fact that it is about Jesus wanting to reveal himself to us at communion as to who he is for us and with us. So we'll talk about Jesus and the Passover feast first, because the first communion service ever was when Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples. Like many other Jewish groups and families in Jerusalem at that time, they were sharing the Passover meal that night, as was the custom on that special day before the Feast of Passover for every family. Israel shared this meal every year to celebrate the miraculous deliverance of Israel out from Egypt, where they had been in slavery under cruel oppression for 400 years. On that Passover day, when they originally fled out of Egypt, each home was instructed to take a lamb for the household and to kill the lamb and apply that blood of the firstborn lamb on the doorposts and lintels of the house so that the angel of death would pass over and the firstborn son of each family was spared from death. And the firstborn son of every Egyptian family died. To this very day, Orthodox Jews, as individual households all over the world, celebrate this Passover feast. They come together for a traditional meal called the Seder, S-E-D-E-R, which means order, because everything is done in a particular order. The whole theme of the special meal on the Seder night is to remember the exodus of Egypt as if they were there and that is what happened to them. So it's experiential for them and educational for the children and the visitors. And I have been a visitor to a Passover feast, a Seder ceremony. And my family and I went there some years back to a friend of ours and we participated with them. We ate the food on the table and drank the spiced wine. And there were quite a variety of foods on what was called the Seder plate. And they were all symbolic. There was a lamb bone that represented the blood of the lamb that was applied to the doors of the Jewish people back there on the day of the Exodus as God passed over the houses and spared the firstborn. And there were the bitter herbs on the table, representing the bitterness that the Jews had to endure as slaves. There was a sweet brown concoction kind of paste that represented the mortar used to build the Egyptian pyramids. Quite tasty. And then there was the dipping of parsley into salt water, representing the tears of the enslaved Jewish people. And then there was the matzah, the unleavened bread that is eaten at Passover. They have to eat this because according to the book of Exodus, the Israelites left Egypt in such a hurry that their bread didn't have time to rise. So they had unleavened bread. And it's traditionally viewed as the bread of the poor. It's eaten by them to remind Jewish people of the hardships that their ancestors endured. During their Passover ceremony, many Jewish children play a game in which there are three pieces of matzah, like mini cakes on a plate. And one piece of matzah, the middle piece, is taken and hidden. And then the children, at a certain point in the ceremony, have to go and find that middle piece of matzah. And at the end of the meal, the one that's found the middle piece of the matzah is given a prize, and that's called the ransom. And I remember asking the host what this signified, and it's interesting, he wasn't quite sure. So I thought, I'll try and explain to him what I thought it was, and he did listen quite respectfully. And I said, look, the three cakes would represent to us as Christians the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the middle cake or the middle piece of matzah would be Jesus. And he's been taken away in hiding, as it were, but he wants to reveal who he is at a certain point when he comes back. And I said, you've got an empty chair there, I noticed, around the table, and you explained to me that that was for Elijah, who will have to be there when the Messiah comes. So I said, it looks like this is part of the setup. He was very respectful, as I said, but we didn't go any further into it. And it's interesting that he did respect the fact that I was a Christian. And at Christmas time, he would say to me, "I hope your friend has a happy birthday today." The first time he said it, I didn't know who he was talking about. But there was a mutual respect there. So, as I said before, communion, Passover, is about God opening our eyes to who Jesus is. And that's what our communion is for, and that's what Passover was for throughout the scriptures, to reveal Jesus as the Passover lamb. Now, Jesus brought himself to that first ever communion table as that firstborn lamb at the Passover meal on that Passover night. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But the disciples did not fully understand the awesome significance of that truth on that night. Jesus had been bringing himself as that lamb down through the ages. And it was right through the prophetic symbolism of the feasts and the sacrifices that are mentioned so many times in the Old Testament. Right back from Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham said that God would provide a lamb for the sacrifice, when he was told by God to offer Isaac upon the altar, and there was the lamb. Then there was Exodus regarding Passover and the various lamb sacrifices throughout Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers. And then there were the prophetic words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, where he speaks about Jesus, the suffering servant, and by his stripes we are healed. And he says that Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Jesus brought himself to the world throughout those years that he walked the earth as the Son of Man and the Son of God, always as God is, wanting always to do, to bring revelation of who he is. And he knew that that night of the Last Supper, that he was about to bring himself to the very altar of the cross, where he would be that lamb slain for the sins of all the world. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing and what he was saying. He was going to bring humanity out from slavery to the world, and that message was contained in the message of bringing Israel out of Egypt. Jesus had said earlier in his ministry, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh means nothing." One translation says, "The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." It is a hard saying, and I've thought the same to myself. But Jesus took them to task for taking offense at what he had said and told them that they were getting stuck in looking at the outward form of what he said. I didn't like that word flesh. And they were missing the deeper inner meaning of how we would take his life into us as our life, and our lives would be in him in the new kingdom order that he was bringing in through his death and resurrection. So he told them that the words he had spoken were spirit and life, and not to think of the natural or flesh perspective of what he said. It's a difficult concept to think of eating his flesh. It's like consuming him. There's only one sense in which I can somehow picture that, and that is that our sins consumed him on the cross. He took that hostility and that consumed him. There's a scripture in Galatians where Paul admonishes the Galatians for not loving one another. And he said, if you bite and devour one another, instead of loving one another, he said, you will be consumed of one another. It's as though there's this hostility that consumes the soul. Well, anyway, as Jesus said to them, don't get caught in looking at the outward form. There was an inner meaning, which was deeper, taking his life into us as our life. Even on that night of the Last Supper, when Jesus took the bread and the wine and said the most amazing words, while his disciples were listening, hanging on every word, the words remained a puzzle to them. I would say all except for John, the one who stood with Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified at Calvary. John seems to have grasped something, some kind of an understanding of new kingdom order. And he relates to us in his gospel, in the Gospel of John in chapter 14, that the Father and Jesus would come and make their home within us after the Holy Spirit had been sent. And when he writes his epistles, you can see that he understood the beautiful bond of the inner life of Christ within us. Paul was the same. He had that revelation and spoke beautifully about that exchanged life. And Paul, in fact, who was not one of the apostles then, he wasn't at the Last Supper, but he received a revelation from Jesus about these words of spirit and life, and he passed these on to the Corinthians in the only epistle that describes the communion table. And again, we're talking about what is communion? What was the Passover? What was the Passover feast of Jesus? It was God saying, I want to reveal myself to you. I want to reveal Jesus to you as the Lamb, as the forgiveness for your sins, and as the blessing of the new covenant, and as a revelation of our lives living within each other. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, and he said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Which means he wasn't there at the Last Supper, but Jesus must have given him a revelation of what the Last Supper was. So he tells us, and he says the words, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So Jesus had come as the Passover lamb to them from of old, and also as the lamb being consumed at the table that night at the feast, and also as their servant leader as he washed their feet on that Passover night, and the servant of mankind throughout his life came to serve us, and then as the bread and the cup at that Last Supper. So while Jesus was always coming to humanity throughout the ages as the Lamb slain, he had now arrived at his appointed time and destination to fulfill his destiny on the earth. And at that time, Jesus was still coming to us in earthly, natural form, and everything he said and did regarding the lamb and the Passover meal and the bread and the cup was part of the story how God in Jesus was sent to us. He celebrated that symbolically at the Last Supper and had communion with his disciples and went to the cross and died and said, it is finished. So something finished then. And what it meant for him to break the bread and drink the cup on that night, and what he wanted it to mean for us, was not just that he had come to humanity at that time to fulfill past history, but that he was also coming to us on earth as the bread of life and the cup of the new covenant in his blood to fulfill the future of mankind as God with us. So while Jesus did come physically to us as literal body and blood at that time, through his life on earth, the spiritual reality has now been realized. We share life with the risen Christ. The words that he spoke to the disciples about his body and his blood have now become spirit and life. Now we go through the bread and the wine by faith into the person and presence of the risen Jesus. And there we have communion with him and with one another. He has sent his Spirit, and he has left for us the communion table to celebrate in remembrance of him. So since his resurrection, the communion meal is a time of spiritual revelation of Jesus to us as we open our hearts and sit in his presence. We open our hearts and he opens our eyes. Now, after dying on the cross and saying it is finished, Jesus came to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is the risen Jesus coming back to earth for 40 days and nights to spend with his disciples. And he picks two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they walk and he begins to speak to them about everything of his life being revealed through the scriptures, which is what we've just been talking about, the Passover feast. They would have probably been told about Jesus as the Lamb, and their hearts burned within them. And then when they got to a certain point and he said he was going to walk on, they said, please stop and stay here at the inn and stay a little longer with us. And then he sat, and when he broke the bread and had communion with them, their eyes were opened and they knew him. So communion is about the revelation of who God is through Jesus and having our eyes opened to know him in a deeper way. When we see Jesus at communion, we receive all spiritual blessings from God through what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has become our salvation and our redemption. All the sins are forgiven. He's become our peace, our wisdom, our healing, and our provision. Communion is a time when our eyes can be opened with a special focus of faith and an anticipation to see Jesus as Paul did when he says in Galatians, it is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. The Bible also says that there'll be an ongoing opening of our eyes to the revelation of him to us when he shares the final promise of communion in the kingdom with his disciples. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus says to his disciples, I will not drink this wine again. And he's talking about the experience at the Last Supper. And he has the cup with them and he says, I will not drink this wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, we're actually able to partake of that in a sense because our kingdom life here in this here and now life on earth is touching that kingdom of God life that is going to become even more of a revelation, more open in eternity after the Lord comes back. But now the kingdom of heaven within us allows us to turn our day-to-day natural old creation life into a spiritual new creation life where things continually become new. We start seeing Jesus in new ways. God starts to show us, bring to pass in front of our eyes things that he's done, that if we hadn't been conscious and aware that we do have the Lord with us, we could have missed it. So we start to see things continually becoming new with a new hope and a new faith and a new reality. The experience of God with us. Amen.